Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's Breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday, where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Here we go. It's hour number one of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Welcome into the show. There's Broadus, the former Cowboy Scout, NFL executive. Lucius Alexander is in the Pimp Cup at Master Control here, 75 and Fitzhugh. Fixing to go 5 hours flawless. Radio producing, engineering, and hosting. Coordinating your video at times. You got Woolchuck and Chia following the house. I did see Carter Freeman around the halls here, so I imagine he's in, and you can watch us on 105throughthefan.com, Twitch, and YouTube. And a good afternoon to you, gentlemen. How the heck are you?
Excellent, sir.
Wonderful.
Excellent.
Wonderful.
How about a third and 11 bomb? How clutch is Will Howard? I mean, the fourth down run against the Longhorns, and then that pass, one of the most clutch passes, the ballsiest passes you'll ever see in any football game, to ice that baby.
It was awesome.
The freshman sensation.
Yes.
You want to play a man, go ahead and throw it up to him. He's usually going to reward you for it. He said before the game, yeah, don't go ahead and guard me man-to-man because I'm going to win. And I saw, I think it was Trista Crick at QL, said, okay, how many games do you think it would take you to be a top 10 wide receiver in the NFL? He said 5 or 6.
Seconds.
I believe it. It might be 2.
You know? 5 or 6 plays. Yeah.
Love the confidence. He's just a freshman, right? So 2 more years of that.
Yeah, but that guy, I mean, he could. He's NFL ready.
They're saying he'd be the top pick in this year's draft.
Yeah.
Wow, it's incredible. I mean, he'd have to have that level of confidence in him, you know. But Notre Dame wants to send the pressure, 3rd and 11, thinking we're going to make a big play. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're right on the doorstep of getting in that thing after being down, what, 31-7?
31-7, yeah.
I mean, incredible comeback. You got to tip your hat to the Irish as well.
Yeah. Even though they were shooting themselves in the foot plenty, like this was not a team with much margin for error, especially given the opponent that they were playing. Mm-hmm. They were going to have to play extremely clean football, and they certainly did not do that after that first drive. And then Marcus Freeman, I know we'll get to that a little bit later, him deciding to kick that field goal.
Ooh.
Like, so bizarre.
What are we doing? What are we doing? It was a must-go for. What do we say? This was a no-punts game. Man, this was a no-settle-on-fourth-down game.
It made no sense as well because I don't see how the field goal helps you there. And we'll hear what Marcus had to say in the chuck wagon coming up on the other side. But to me, that was just one of – and he usually does not make those type of mental mistakes. That might have been where, like, the moment here – it got a little too big for me, and I didn't think clearly in this moment.
He was too conservative in the first half as well, running the ball a lot, especially with the quarterback. It worked on the opening drive, but the longer that first half went on, and then when they finally open it up late, boom, they're making big plays. And, you know,
Great House, man.
Yeah.
Great House was a monster. And it felt like Riley Leonard after that first drive, like he was literally out of gas, dude.
Yeah, they were. Like, it's funny because I was listening to the broadcast, actually the Notre Dame broadcast on the way home, and
their
announcers were like, man, he is gassed. But they tried to make a reasoning like, no, you got to get that out, these long drives, and you got to get, you know, it'll help you catch your second wind. And I'm like, bro, I don't know about that.
My boy looked dehydrated.
Yeah,
he looked a little woozy. Yeah, thank God the game's like 4 hours, so he's got time to gather himself. But by then, you're down 31-7.
I don't think it's all for naught. I don't think you could have had a better opening drive in that game, though. I
mean, oh, no.
You had to build on that.
It was a historical
But you
drive.
Can't sustain a drive where you need that many plays. You're just going 5 yards a pop, and it was great for one drive, but they just couldn't sustain it. All of a sudden, you get a false start penalty. Yeah. You can't overcome first and 15.
Yeah, and their air yards and the attempts. I think Chief nailed it last night. You got to take chances in this game, and you know the spots where they did take chances, they were rewarded. And I thought we were rewarded for sticking around into the fourth quarter with a somewhat exciting finish. But Ohio State with the chance to choke the game out, they took it. They took it by the balls. And it was impressive, and they definitely deserve the championship. Irish didn't take the biggest L of the night, though. I don't know if you saw it. It was Ryan Day's golf cart driver.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
That's a Texas Tech Red Raider, apparently. Yeah. My brother-in-law is like, I know that girl. She works with the scouting department at Texas Tech.
Yeah.
And she just drives straight into the wall.
She definitely doesn't work in the golf cart or driving department.
Maybe Lou Holt slipped her a bill and said, hey, just make sure you drive.
Can you break his ankle?
Yeah, let's
ding him on one. Humble him real quick.
Go ahead and... skirt.
I mean, national championship, national TV. That, you know, it's the moment's big, too big for a lot of people, not just the players and coaches. Sometimes
whoever made the call, though, to make that decision, trusting that behind the wheel on a night like that, pressurized situation, you need a veteran in the moment.
Might have been the Extendo golf cart. You know, she was used to a little bit of a tighter fit, a better turn radius. You know, I don't know. Maybe she's an inexperienced golf cart driver. I'd imagine you'd have to be pretty dang good at it, and that, you know, those are some tight situations out there with a lot of fans.
That's a moment where you need Marshawn Lynch behind the wheel. You know?
I'll say this: I've only seen moments like that when I've driven my own golf cart after about 16 holes, and like the drink cart
16
ladies come
beers.
By. I can't even stand up.
Well, to her credit, the beers were so cheap at that game. How could she refuse?
How could she refuse?
She was kind of working, kind
so
of.
So I felt sorry for her, but I knew where she'd been at. But like I say, after like 16 holes of golf, I drive the same way.
I think the last time we saw such a high profile golf cart moment, though, it was out at the stadium there in the high school championship game.
When that thing went rogue, that thing went rogue and just started running over people.
Yeah, I did. Wow. How did it get loose? Something fell on the accelerator.
Oh, yeah. Plowed
dude's
over.
Like hanging on to it.
Just plowed over people.
Luckily, nobody was seriously hurt. Geez.
That was incredible. My older brother, one time when we were golfing with my dad, sent the golf cart into the little pond that was right there. That was a pretty bad moment.
But the gasket stuck on him? What happened?
He was going way too fast, took a turn that was too sharp, and just kind of like bailed out. That thing just, woof.
I turned over a golf cart in the fairway at the Austin Country Club one time.
Really?
Yeah, and the beer cans and all that. We were trying to pick them all up. Like my golf
a big rolling
was,
hill or something.
Yeah,
you tried
I was
to turn
going
on?
Down a hill, and matter of fact, we were playing in a Texas A&M alumni event in Austin. Uh-oh. That was an Aggie Club event.
About 30 beers deep.
It was just
with a bunch of yell leaders out there.
I had a partner like Tim Cassidy, who was the recruiting coordinator at the time. He told this guy, he goes, listen, they're not going to let us buy beer here unless you're a member. And Tim told me, he goes, you can buy us two cases of beer. We're going to win this tournament. And sure enough, the guy did. And we were hitting some of the most miraculous shots you've ever seen in your life. And then I was driving and I made a sharp turn and the thing just fell over. Luckily, Tim jumped out. I was hanging on to the wheel. I like leaning over the side, but just beer cans all over the fairway and stuff. And R.C. Slocum, the head coach, was like a hole behind us and saw it all. Just saw us like turn the thing over.
So the team that rolled a golf cart won the tournament?
No, we finished second.
Oh, you finished second.
Yeah, we finished second. We needed one more case of beer. Like, my man Tim was hitting some like miraculous five woods around trees. I mean, like, he's like, watch this. He's just like, cut the, you know, take a five wood and cut it around trees. It's like we were playing like pro golf.
Just totally in the
and
zone.
It wasn't even like, you didn't need the yardage. It was, you know, what are you going to hit? I need a five wood here. Watch. He just hooking around the tree.
Just eyeballing it.
Oh, my God. It was so much fun. But, yeah, I turned over a cart right there.
Well, those carts can fool you, man. They're not as amphibious as they look, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if anybody can beat that story. I mean, you roll a golf cart and live to tell about it. My dad in his retirement job, he's like a starter at this golf course in the Bend area. And he was telling us this story where some kid, 11 or 12 years old, drove the golf cart into the pond, probably similar to Chia. And I was telling him, I think Abby could totally handle that. Yeah. You know, I would trust Abby to drive home from the grocery store.
Oh, sure.
I don't know what some of these kids are doing, you know.
Well, they test their luck a little bit. They start getting a little rowdy in there.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that's what it is. All of a sudden, you're going pedal to the metal.
Doing wheelies here on the golf course.
Taking tight turns.
It's tempting.
That car path ain't that wide.
Well, sometimes you get like a wet fairway and you like gun it and then try to do the power slide into the tee box area.
A little slippage.
And then you could hook it and flip
See,
it.
See, and in the 90s you had a lot more gas powered ones.
Oh, yeah.
And you'd go play around with like a mechanic type of dude and he knew how to take the governor off. And you know, you'd be ripping it like 18 miles an hour down the fairway having a good old time.
Those things are top heavy, dude.
Okay, the hay's in the barn for the college football season. We get to see which player the Cowboys are going to select at 12 in the upcoming draft. So that's a big part of our coverage. You know, I'm trying to be optimistic as much as possible about this draft, but I also feel like there's a new standard in the NFL where you got to have a really good quarterback and an amazing coach, you know, and probably a front office as well operating at an elite level. So, you know, today the update is they're going to interview Brian Schottenheimer for the job. That's, you know, going to happen.
I'm just going to worry about the draft from now on, guys, if that's okay.
Yeah, I saw you tweeting about that.
I'm just going to worry. I mean,
you're out on this?
No, just, you know.
I'm sick of it?
I'm just going to try and find the best players I can, put them on a board, and then we're going to talk about them for 3 days, and hopefully they'll get fortunate enough to draft the right guys that can help them. But if they're not going to take the coaching hire seriously or interview people that, you know, that need to be interviewed, why should I take it seriously? I'm going to worry on things I can worry about, and that's the draft.
I mean, I guess they could build a team so physically dominant like the Eagles.
Sure.
You know, that it wouldn't matter who the coaches are.
No, that's my hope.
Yeah.
I'm going to try and find as many of those kind of players that you're talking about. You know, Jordan Mailata's and those kind of guys that aren't all first-round dudes, but find guys that can play and help whatever coaching staff they want to hire, because I'm just tired of talking about it, you know. It doesn't really make a whole lot of sense. You're really not trying to get the best and the brightest here.
No, I think a few things I've realized through the course of this is Jerry needs somebody that has no other option so he can leverage them, you know, to take less money and to accept his terms, because he has to be the most important person in the organization. I don't think, you know, what happened with Jimmy Johnson was a result of a guy accumulating a significant amount of power and ego based on the success. Mm-hmm. And I think Jerry never wants somebody to have that big of a personality and star inside the star. So if you know, you're going for coaches that don't have another opportunity, this guy can't say, screw you, I don't like it here, I'm going here. You know, and you know, if you never have that great of a coach, maybe you never have that kind of team success. And if you do have the team success, it's going to be, you know, obvious it was more about the team building than the head coach. So I think there's a lot of psychology in here, and the humiliation, the public humiliation that Jerry Jones suffered as a result of how the Jimmy Johnson story ended. He wants to make sure that never happens again. And how you make sure that never happens again is constantly neutering the guy in public and making sure you are setting the tone and the agenda. And I don't think, you know, many qualified guys will accept those terms. So we have to get lucky. You know, you have to like hit on this Schottenheimer situation. Let's say it's Shoddy, who just in the last 24 months had this epiphany of how offense needs to happen. Yeah. And it also has to be true that he wasn't able to bring that to fruition under Mike McCarthy, because Mike McCarthy wouldn't let him have autonomy.
Right.
You know, so that's our outside chance of hope. I just, again, I don't know how much it matters until you can build an incredible offensive line and running game. You know, like, again, back to who's left in this thing. Great quarterbacks, amazing coaches, and then the Eagles, who managed to build this incredible thing. But it really wouldn't work unless Jalen Hurts was the best short yardage quarterback in the history of the league. Maybe the best short yardage back, period. Like, yeah. You have all of that, plus a guy that when you get to 3rd-and-2 and 4th-and-2, it's guaranteed you're going over the line. You know, you're getting a touchdown, you're getting a first down. And even then, they are massively struggling coming off that incredible draft and with this incredible offensive line and Saquon Barkley, two great wide receivers, you know. And I guess that's the goal, Brian. And I wish you and the scouts and everybody making decisions over there the best of luck,
man,
in building the greatest team ever.
No, it's going to be these guys and gals over there are going to be under a lot of pressure, but every year they're under pressure because they don't deal in free agency. This is not a traditional way to run your football team. You know, this is not a traditional way of obtaining players. You know, you're totally shrinking your opportunity to do things that, you know, could make your team successful, like the Final Four teams have done, you know, in these championships. And like I said, at 3:40, I'm going to go over who's, you know, how these positions rank, and it'll be very clear. Dallas isn't, they're not a traditional way of, they're not running a traditional way, you know, and they're not able to go out and get players like they need to. And, you know, and their roster is built to only carry them so far. It can't carry them into these types of games that we're going to see here this weekend.
Yeah.
And you know, they don't take the coaching thing seriously. Nothing against Schottenheimer. Fine. I loved his dad.
Well, he's 51 years old, never got a job.
Brian was awesome. We got to interview him at camp.
Just a wonderful,
he's
a good dude.
Washed out as an OC. Yeah.
Family's awesome.
Love all this, you know, situation, you know. But
seems very likable.
To me, you're asking your scouting department to do the superhuman and have no margin of error. And I could say, hey, we'll take the challenge.
Yeah.
And now it's about just finding these guys, building the board, stacking it, and praying like heck that every one of those tags glows and is an all-pro player when you're picking players.
It's an impossible task. Yeah. I mean, we were going through it today on the draft show. Like, can you fill all your needs?
Absolutely
no, you can't.
Not.
Like, what are the top three position groups in the first three rounds. Well, you're still looking at, like, can I get a linebacker in the first three rounds I feel great about? I don't know. Yeah. So, like, you've got to be able to fill out this roster without just bottom feeding all the time in free agency.
They're going to give up more players, too. We'll see. I mean, here I am. I'm saying this today as we speak. You know, on January 21st, that, you know, you're probably not going to have Jordan Lewis. You're probably not going to have Oso Digizua. You're probably not going to have Golston. You know, just name. I mean, a lot of teams are in this situation too, but you are going to rely on all these guys, and you're not probably going to have them, and you're going to have to replace them. You didn't replace them the first time around. You're probably not going to replace them the second time around. This team has a really good possibility of not being as good as it was this year, and that was a 7-win team. So, you know, be ready, Cowboy fans.
Yeah, and you're trying to put Jason Witten on this coaching staff as well, you know, just to further complicate matters.
I would just name him the head coach today.
The only thing better than that would be to have him go work with whatever job Sean McVay will take him in for about 2 years and then send him back.
Hey, that'd be fine. That'd be fine with me. But if you're going to go the Schottenheimer route.
I'm with Zach on this one.
I don't see why you just wait around. Just go ahead and do this.
If you're going to make it a coaching waiting situation, just give him the damn job.
It is a Dallas Stars game night. Rupe Hintz probably out with the upper body injury. Still will pass along the finality when we got it. Host Carolina at 7 o'clock. Hurricanes very good. Mavericks are going to host the T-Wolves tomorrow night at 6:30, and then the Thunder on Thursday, and then the Celtics on Saturday. They should be at 500 by the time you go to bed on Saturday night.
We feared this.
Yeah,
we feared this, and you were going to have to win. You've lost a couple of games. You gave one to New Orleans, and then you lost the one yesterday in Charlotte. So it's unfortunate, but here we are, and you got to find a way to kind of rally. I just hope they're not such deep of a hole that they get so tired and they're not able to play, even to getting in the playoffs, and now they're exhausted trying to get their way into the playoffs. We'll see how that all plays out.
G-Bag of the Day coming up at 2:30. Chuck Wagon is next. Zach, what you got?
Well, now I'm Cowboys angry again, but let's go Marcus Freeman on that one decision and why Jerry World lost the national championship game.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
And that's next.
Shoot, yeah, welcome back, Nation. G-Bag of the Day is coming up here in just 7 minutes. Segment of the Nation is brought to you by the Frankels. Life's unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you or a loved one's injured in a car, truck, wreck, call the Frankels. Get a free consultation, 214-817-333-3333. Hit frankelfirm.com. It's also brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today at carsforkids.org. Here's Wolchuk, some sports.
All right, so we had the Natty, and Ohio State held on. It was a heck of a comeback effort from the Fighting Irish Notre Dame, but in part of this, down 31-15, facing fourth and goal. Later on, you had, Marcus Freeman down 16 points, decided, okay, let's just go ahead and kick a field goal. Well, they did end up missing the field goal, and that didn't help them, but it looked like they even put the analytic on the screen. It says 4th and 2 in this situation, you go for it. I'm thinking to myself, you're down 16. Even if you kick the field goal, you're down 13. It's still a 2-score game. I don't really understand the optics here. But here
we start talking about the kicker being shaky.
Yeah, right.
What are we doing?
Here was Marcus Freeman giving his explanation on what he was thinking in the moment.
Yeah, I think it was 4th and 9 or 10. And I just thought, you know, instead of being down 16, let's try to go down 13. And I know it's still a 2-score game, but you have a better probability of getting 14 points than you do 16 points. And so if it was a shorter 4th and goal situation, I probably would have gone for it, but I just felt 4th and 9 was not a great chance for us to make that. And, you know, and decided to kick it, and we didn't make it.
Yeah, to me, I think that's a go for it situation. And in hindsight, they still put themselves in a position to have a chance to maybe get back there and win the game. So, you know, they fought and clawed, but I've been a big Marcus Freeman supporter, and that was just one head-scratching decision where you go for it, and even if you don't get it, all right, well, they're pinned back deep, and then you play defense. But unfortunately, You kick the field goal, you still miss it, and you go from there. But I think that's one where you got to gamble. Going from 16 down to 13, even if you think 4th and 9 is a little bit too long here, you're going.
It's 4th and 6.
Yeah, I think he was wrong about the down and distance, too. When I heard him say 4th and 9, 4th and 10, I felt in the moment it was way shorter.
It's a tough one to swallow right there. And it doesn't help that your kicker ends up doinking it just to make matters worse. Like, you don't even punch it through.
The kid kicked him the game-winning field goal the week before, so you can't be critical. But Marcus Freeman really should have said, I didn't expect to miss a 27-yard field goal.
Sure.
That's where. And you're right. You know, but in his mind, he's thinking, if I could just chip away at this thing, then, you know, maybe my, you know, it's about knowing your team, you know, it's about knowing the condition of your team, you know, and so, you know, he probably sent his guy out there thinking he's going to get a 27-yard field goal, and now it's a huge question in the game. That thing should have been knocked through, and then now let's play from there to try and get the 13 points.
Yeah.
And he could have. Kicking situations in these college games are never easy.
No.
We talked about it yesterday on our show. You know, which team has the shakier, you know, Notre Dame had a kicker that won a game for them to get them to where they are today. And so, unfortunately, they missed a 27-yard field goal, and now he's getting blasted for that.
Yeah. Well, congratulations to Ohio State. I mean, the gauntlet that they went on, you beat Tennessee, then you beat Oregon in a rematch, then you beat Texas, and then now you beat Notre Dame. There's no denying they are a very worthy champion. Maybe the best that we've ever seen going through that college football playoff format. Well, incredible what they were able to do.
In the NIL era, the much of the talk has been about the millions of dollars that they've spent. Look at their defensive front 7.
Yeah.
You know, they have not – that money – that those were guys that came back with the hope of beating Michigan and winning a national championship.
Corners the same. Really, yep. Caleb Downs is the only player on defense.
Every one of – but the majority of their money is spent on the offensive side of the ball. But their defense is all homegrown 4 or 5 year starters that are all really going to be really solid NFL players.
Battle tested.
I mean, that's you know, the Sawyers and you know, those guys are
JT.
Yeah, they are going to be really solid NFL players. Nothing spectacular about them, but they've done a really good job. I mean, a lot of talk about the money they spent, but they've got some really the portal helped them. The veterans coming back, and then also the NIL money they spent. That's why they won the national championship.
Do you feel like your grip from the SEC's perspective is loosening a little bit with the Saban's retirement and Georgia sliding back a little?
You know what? I think this NIL stuff is really, really good for football. I wish the windows were a little bit more clear. The only thing I hate about it, Gavin, is that I hate the fact that I invest in a kid and then he up and leaves. You know, and I get it. I mean, I wish there was some kind of way we can kind of like
do longer contracts.
You said it many, many months ago, the contracts. You know, I mean, are you here a year or are you here 3 years? Mm-hmm. If I know that, then I feel better about the way I could build my team. Not against players getting the money. I think that's a great, great thing. My dad did it in the 70s forever. And, you know, we got a lot of really good kids that, and it helped them, you know, when they needed it.
I think they maybe need more advertisers. I mean, $20 million is the top payroll for this team. I still think that's low if NFL teams are going to $270 million. Yeah. Like, maybe you need to double that so you can have the kind of budget to absorb some bad contracts. Because now, I think year to year is working really well. The risk is lower for the university. The player likes to keep his options open. But, you know, in order to do longer contracts, you're going to have to increase the budget. And I think it's just a matter of time before that kind of money comes into the game.
Yeah, I think that if you look at though, I wonder how many of like Ohio State's players have NIL money. I wonder, is that $20 million spread over seven or eight guys? You know?
That's a good question.
Because there's guys like Brian Broaddus on their roster.
Yeah.
That's just happy to have, you know, three hots and a cot.
Mm-hmm. I think most starters at the big schools are getting some kind of cash, you know? A high five figures, six figures, somewhere in there. And then some dudes are getting millions.
Yeah, I think the majority of your money is being spent on your skill players for sure.
Yeah.
You know, and now you got to kind of figure out, but how many of those Ohio State players were getting, you know, the $20 million pie? That I'd love to hear that number.
It's time now to go into the Pimp Cup here on a Tuesday, where Lucius Alexander has your G-bag of the day. We've vacated title here. Jerry going five again yesterday.
Yes, that is the assumption I'm working under. That is the information that I am progressing here. That's what I believe. That is true, right?
Yes, sir.
It's true, sir.
Just making sure. Because you never know what is.
No, I think that's a fart.
Yeah. I'll fart on that, Gavin. All right, let's see. I just worked down this list. UCLA basketball head coach Mike Cronin. He's made a lot of headlines lately.
Yes.
He ripped his team. Did he call him delusional and soft?
He did.
Yeah, he's hilarious.
He is. He's losing it, man. He needs no coffee. If I was his doctor, no coffee, bro. No stimulants.
Yep.
Okay, I need to take it easy. Melatonin in the morning for you, buddy.
CBD at night.
Yeah, and he ripped the refs not too long ago.
Yep.
Well, now he's ripping the Big Ten travel schedule.
Travel, yes.
And he dunked on this reporter, too, for no reason, bro.
To the wear and tear and just what you've seen on
wear
the court.
Wear and tear on them?
Yeah.
Is that a joke? Please tell me that's a
is
joke.
Is it even comparable, is essentially comparable. What I'm trying to say.
Have you ever looked at the NBA stats and what the gamblers and all those people do on West versus East? Talk to Eric Musselman, ask him that question, who coached in the NBA. Good luck, West, going East. Okay? And ask me UCLA's record east of the Mississippi in the last 20 years. Because when I got the job, I looked it up for scheduling purposes. It's under 500, okay? We have to go back four times. Oh, the Big Ten teams get to come to Los Angeles where it's 70 degrees one time a year. They don't even have to switch hotels. We're in the same, we're 12 miles apart. Are you kidding me? Please tell me you're kidding me. Is this a plan? Is this a plan of question? I mean, you cannot be serious with that. And meanwhile, we've seen the Eiffel Tower, or we've seen the Statue of Liberty twice in the last 3 weeks while we were landing.
While we were landing.
It is unsettling how the plane tilts as you're coming in over the harbor there. It's a pretty tight turn down there into that that landing strip. But you took the job, dude. You took the job. You researched it. Now you're complaining about it. I'd fire this guy on the spot if I'm
Yeah, I was just thinking about that. Like, man, who is his boss? I know he's got to look at the headlines like, hey, coach, we need points and wins, not your mouth.
Is there anything you can't complain about?
Come on, man.
I wonder if he's trying to get fired.
Ooh, wouldn't surprise me.
Ooh, hold on.
It's the easiest way to make money, dude.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Get hired, get fired. Go on vacation. Collect the check.
Yeah. Hold on, I got to run that back, bro. That bass is crazy when it comes in there. Pause. Ooh! Ooh! He's smacking that thing.
That's fire.
Smacking it. All right, so Bobby Bell, let's go to the morning show.
Yeah!
The RJ and Choppy show. Which one of these fools is Chop? Got two clips from Bobby Bell. Only one can win, though. Bobby Bell snaps at RJ when they bring... they were talking about Coach McCarthy's resume.
Yeah.
Listen to Bobby, dog.
He is a lot of fluff and not a lot of follow-through, so... His interview cycle is going very similar to his coaching career.
Yeah, you're so easy to telegraph with your trolling. With the way
is that incorrect?
Is it incorrect? He's a Super Bowl champion. Like,
his reputation is Chop. His reputation is he got Rodgers one.
The psychopath convention.
Why? What's the psychopath convention?
Where you start going on your little rants here.
It's one. It, I don't care. No, because you know what? There's actual. I care when people say stupid S like you just did. Well, that's stupid.
That's stupid.
Oh, my God.
It's so good.
It's stupid.
Oh, my God.
It is a toxic Tuesday.
Listen to this ball of energy right here.
No, no. You know his reputation is choppy. You know his reputation is choppy. You know his reputation is. His reputation is.
What was Choppy's line that set him off? The lunatic
called
convention?
Called him a jackass. Psychopath
convention.
You're doing it again, man. You're going down your psychopath convention.
Yeah. Psychopath convention's here.
Who's Bobby?
Oh, well, let's go to crosstalk of that same show.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
They're crosstalking with the KMC masterpiece. And boy, it was just still triggered there. The energy was still in, you know, it's still in the air. It's palpable, as they say.
By the way, Mike McCarthy is reporting that weather delays have prevented him from interviewing with the New Orleans Saints.
Mike McCarthy has a social media account?
I mean, he has several reporters that he feeds that information to that have since reported.
What is the real report?
There are several reporters saying, hey, Mike McCarthy's definitely interested in, the Saints are definitely interested in weather has gotten in the way, so.
But why do you have to be so childish
I'm
and
saying,
petty about it?
I'm
no,
saying.
I'm saying
and
now.
I'm telling you.
Why do you have to be like,
there's
so
petty
bitchy
about it?
About
I'm just
it.
Saying. It's great.
Like,
it's
he's
it
gone. You won.
I assume it's Laura Oakman.
Why are you still just whiny and cheap about it?
What do you mean cheap?
You take nothing but cheap. Cheap. You already won. What are you being so petty about it
I'm
for?
Just saying, it's the report
like,
that's out
like
there.
Just celebrate it and be comical
I am
so, and boys.
This is me celebrating
no, you're being
right
freaking
now
petty and annoying
yeah,
about
I
it.
I love it.
You want to get punched in the freaking face?
Oh.
What?
Let's go.
I love the moment Bobby knew he got Sean and he suddenly got very joyous.
Oh, yes.
The tension just evaporated from his voice.
I love that Bobby was cool with the whiny allegation, but
the cheap,
he was offended
cheap,
by the
cheap.
Cheap
got him.
How dare you
what
call
you
me
what
cheap?
Do you mean
see
cheap
how I tip.
He this hit is the emergency brakes on that. Well, what do you mean cheap?
This is some high-quality trolling.
Sean wants him to stay poised in the pocket.
Yeah, Bobby was hot coming into the
draft. Why can't
he
just stay
show
poised?
He was.
He's like, be a good winner. Don't be a sore winner.
Oh, my gosh. And last one, it was a caller on C-SPAN complaining about Alabama in the playoffs, Alabama football in the playoffs, during the inauguration coverage.
Hoping to become the next director of national intelligence. Graham in Jersey City, New Jersey, Democrats line.
Hi, I want to wish everyone a happy MLK Day. I hope everyone's staying warm. I'm a bit disappointed how the election turned out. I think it would have been great to see a female president inaugurated today. While I'm disappointed in the American people and their desire to see another 4 years of Trump, I'm a bit more disappointed in the selection committee for not picking Alabama for the college football playoff finals, and instead picking inferior teams like SMU and Indiana. Truly dark times in America.
Truly dark times. Truly
awesome
dark times.
Truly dark
times in America, bro.
You hit rock bottom.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Truly dark times.
He stayed poised.
Yeah, he sure did. He delivered that with confidence. I had a good MLK Day yesterday. Yes. Woke up, went to the gym. Had a good long workout. Haven't had that in a while. I came home and watched a documentary about MLK called Martin Luther King Jr. Mart Man. They try to get that man to kill himself. The FBI. Yep. They threatened. Like, why don't you go ahead and do it, man? Please. Make it easier for us. Because we're coming for you.
Is this Hoover? Oh. Was Hoover involved in this?
Man, all of that.
Yeah.
A lot of that. Let's do some pickings, Dawson. What are you doing? You just jamming to the...
Yeah.
Hey,
we got three challengers. Yeah.
I feel you. Mm-hmm. All right, I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm. Okay, is it UCLA head coach Mike Cronin, who's on a rampage? He deserves to be fired. That's Division III at best. Bobby Belt. Or is it Graham, who was disappointed by the election, but much more disappointed by the college football committee? I'm voting for the Sean, RJ, and Bobby show. Chief, how about
yes,
you?
Yes, in a landslide.
Yeah, absolutely.
Bowie?
Yeah, this is Sean and Bobby. And I guess Sharif, the shoddy whisperer, is saying that he's hearing an offer could be coming very soon for Brian Schottenheimer.
Yeah. Yep. That's seems to be the thing.
A literal BS hire.
Okay, I'm about to say, y'all happy about that?
Hell no.
Okay. Just make,
great dude.
Just get a vibe check,
awesome
bro.
To talk to, just but what the hell are we doing?
Gotta get a vibe check.
I think it's freaking hilarious.
You know, so I wish I didn't care.
There is part of me that's like, wow, this is really happening?
What a time to be alive.
It really is dark times in our
country. I mean, at least it could be a dark comedy for us.
4-0, right?
Yes, sir.
4-0 to vote. Mick Cronin from UCLA.
By a score of 4-1, your new G-Bag of the Day champion. I think they all deserve part of that, you know, especially Bobby.
Yeah, it's a three-headed monster.
Okay, college football Darty coming up next, Chief. What you got?
Chip Kelly in his bag, and Notre Dame needs to respect the biz.
All right, welcome back. Maybe there's going to be an offer for Brian Schottenheimer to be Cowboys head coach at some time in today's broadcast. Stay tuned. We'll break in with news if it does break. It's time now for a college football Darty. Here's the Chief.
Well, we got a crown, and Ohio State gets it done, 34-23. It was a little bit more stressful than Buckeye fans wanted there into the fourth quarter. I did love the shots into the stands, seeing the frightened Buckeye faces.
Yeah.
That did bring me some joy because that fan base sucks so bad. What they did to Ryan Day and his family, did you see his kid talking about it? His kid was like, yeah, I couldn't even go to school. After you lose to Michigan, he said it wasn't until after the Tennessee game where I could basically show my face anywhere.
Wow.
As his son, who's like in high school or something.
Jeez.
Buckeye fans are really, really awful.
I did
enjoy seeing their videos, though, where did they break into the shoe?
Oh, my gosh. Yep. They broke into the shoe. They went to the 50-yard line. They were celebrating. The security guards there, honestly, were like, you know what, guys? Have at it. Let's go. Student base. Let's party. They're burning couches along the streets in Columbus. It was a raging party.
That's the thing to do, I guess. You just set stuff on fire. Couches. It seems to always be couches getting set on fire. Like, who decides, hey, it's going to be my couch? They have, like, some type of decision on campus beforehand. Hey, guys, it's my couch that's getting burned here.
Yeah.
Hopefully, we should have teed up Walchuk's poo couch. Honestly, that would have been the one
we could
to see go.
I like it when the towns make pre-championship rioting preparations. Like, hey, guys, we're going to have a bonfire here. You know, please don't leave any cars on the street. Don't break anything.
Just bring your couch.
Who's the place that? Where's the school that set up the? Who's the school that set up the pizzas?
BYOC.
Remember they were feeding the kids?
Yeah, who was doing the pizzas? That's a great question. Who was doing
that? Connecticut? Was that Connecticut?
It might have been. Yeah, because they're
stores?
The pizza. They're the pizza.
Like, listen, come eat free pizza. Don't burn anything. We'll feed you. Just show up.
Yeah, that's
we'll
the move right you. There. That's the bribe.
Yeah.
I would take
of
that.
Of course, in Philadelphia, they have to grease all the poles and make sure there's no horse poop on streets.
Yeah, otherwise, then the real eating will commence. We all watched the McAfee cast. I mean,
yes,
that was the PSA.
Shout out to Ty Schmidt with his fake Lou Holtz the whole time. He stole the show. He was unbelievable, and he deserves all the praise for that. He was brilliant.
Yeah, I hadn't seen his impression, but they had him. One of McAfee's guys does a Lou Holtz impression, and they had him with the Lou Holtz mask on, decked out in Irish gear, and he was fake Lou Holtz the entire duration of the game. And it really was hysterical. I'm assuming, Lucius, that's how you soaked it in, right?
Oh, of course, bro. And the people at my house had no idea this was the alternative broadcast.
Nice.
Did they just cuss?
Yeah, he says, man, you see his ass run? And they said, whoa. Wait a minute. This is what we're doing on TV now? So yeah, that's the ESPN broadcast.
High-level entertainment, man. It really was. So congrats to Ohio State.
You know, I'm just happy when I get on to whatever app I'm watching and I see the game. I just click the first thing. I'm like, it's, you know, it's like finding a needle in a haystack, you know. So I don't even know if the McAfee alternate cast was available for me last night. Maybe it was. Maybe it wasn't.
I had a good inclination it was available.
Yeah.
It was on ESPN 2, you know.
I know the package you have is pretty unprecedented.
I had
pretty
it
all-encompassing.
On. Yeah, we got it.
Okay, so I did want to look back because we teased the most bet tickets for player props going into the game. Which ones hit?
Our quarterback runner got it, right?
Quarterback runner got it. He might have got it on that first drive.
First drive.
Like 2 yard shot on the first drive, but that thing was a lock.
And that actually, let's start there. Let's start with the two quarterbacks. Obviously, things got difficult for Riley Leonard between that first drive and really like the end of the third quarter. But man, I will say he was really freaking impressive once he got over how exhausted he was from basically carrying the team on the first drive. drive. Yeah. That dude was making plays outside the pocket, the connection. It was really just, it's Leonard and Greathouse versus Ohio State is pretty much what it was. Ohio State's like, we got guys all over the place. Pick your poison here, whatever you want to do. I'll have a couple of receivers that are like 80, 60 yards, whatever. But for Notre Dame, like, they couldn't run the ball for squat. It was just Riley Leonard, run the ball, throw the ball. And Will Howard, of course, like, he starting the game, was he like 14 and 15 to start the game? Just completely dialed. Kudos to him, having his best game of his career when
he's got
it
the intangibles
most.
Of a champion. Now he just needs the traits that are draftable.
That's right. Know? Yeah.
I think Riley Leonard might have gotten too worked up by all the runs, the big plays, getting hit a couple of times. You know, I think your adrenaline just got the best of him, and it took him a long time to calm back down.
Yeah, yeah, it took too long to catch that second wind. Riley Leonard over 36.5 rushing yards. That was the fifth most bet ticket leading into the game. That one hit. He only had 40, but they needed every single one of those. Now, Jeremiah Love, Notre Dame running back, we said, like, over 45.5 rushing yards. That was the fourth most bet ticket. He ends the game with 4 carries for 3 yards. Mm. They could not run the ball at all. They could not run the ball.
We talked about that, though, in our pregame buildup, was that the veteran Ohio State defensive line, it's hard to, with Williams and Sawyer, and those guys are just, you know, and then you got the safeties playing downhill. They're very, very difficult to move the ball on that way.
Notre Dame running back Aeneas Williams, over 24.5 receiving yards, was the third most bet prop, and he didn't end up in the stat sheet at all. Yeah. So that's a miss. So we're 1-for-3 right now on hits. The second most bet ticket, Buckeye quarterback Will Howard, over 245.5 passing yards. He did not hit that number. It was like 230. And then Emeka Ibuka, over 61.5 receiving yards. He finishes with 64. That was the most bet player prop. He hit it. So congratulations to those bettors right there. Now, we did have, I mean, Ryan Day, did you see him just launching his headset?
Oh, he did.
I think it landed in some Buckeye fans' hands. Like, yeah. That's how far, yeah. Like, he was putting, he put everything into
yeah,
that
he,
thing.
Yeah, he got rid of
a lot of torque. I bet he can drive a golf ball like an animal.
Yeah, he turned on it and just spun it like he was throwing a discus.
Yeah.
He just kind of spun it into the crowd, and then they got him. But they nailed him with the Gatorade bath. You notice that? They held him, and then, man, that thing went direct.
Green.
No bouncing off his head or anything like that, you know.
It was a good pour.
It was a good pour, yeah.
I do want to show some love to Chip Kelly as well. Like, you talk about that final sort of the dagger play, deep 3rd and 11 to Jeremiah Smith. It was a ballsy pitch and catch, but ballsy call as well. Like, he was – Chip Kelly's like, dude, if they're going to play man and blitz us, we got the guy, we got the call. Will Howard is locked in. He's playing the best of his career. Let's do this thing. Congratulations to Chip Kelly for that. But also,
even though he robbed us of what could have been an insane finish, do you think Notre Dame would have gone down and scored if they got the ball there?
That's a great question. Do they score and get the 2-point conversion? It's really just Greathouse. Like, it's literally, if you're Ohio State at that point, you're like, just erase Greathouse and dare anybody else to beat you. I'm assuming that the Buckeye defense would have stood tall because, again, that red zone defense, that goal line defense, scoring on them is an absolute beating.
Every time I was watching Notre Dame offense, that kid showed up.
Yeah.
I mean, every game that, you know, like, you're like, oh, let's watch some Notre Dame. Let's watch a couple players here. And he's making play after play after play. I mean, I don't think Ohio State had a really good answer for him. There's a shot that they probably would have driven down the field if they got the opportunity.
But you're right on Chip Kelly. I don't know if he's got what it takes to be a great head coach, but I think if I was a needy program, I'd give it a shot. Because if you get him the players, I mean, he's going to make some stuff happen. Didn't work for him well at UCLA, but at Oregon, he was at the top of the world 14, 13 years ago.
Yeah, and that play, the Jeremiah Smith touchdown early in the game, where they do like the they call it the orbit return, where the player goes back across, like he's basically reversing around the quarterback, but then he stops midway and reverses course. And it's a great play for a man defense, which Notre Dame was hell bent on playing. And it ends up being that play where where Ohio State scored on, that was actually a play that Alabama had run and scored on Ohio State in the title game back in 2020 with Devontae Smith. It was a copy and paste play right like around the 10-yard line or whatever. And so Chip Kelly took what Alabama did to Ohio State like 4 years ago in the title game, copy and paste, touchdown, Buckeyes. So I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, a little Philly special flavor on that.
Yeah, exactly.
He was in his bag the entire run here. He really was.
I loved the two-point conversion play that Notre Dame ran, even though it almost got tripped up in the backfield. Hell of a play.
Yeah, it was.
Guy's butt naked.
And then Dan Wolkin, respected journalist, he was criticizing Notre Dame after the game, amateur hour. He was calling it. He said bizarre scenes from the Notre Dame locker room, players yelling at reporters, coaches warning people not to ask certain questions. Amateur hour, he says. So I don't know what it, I guess obviously emotions were high. You take an L and you're like, forget it. Put a barricade on the doors. Don't let the reporters in here.
Maybe that's what happens when the coach is always taking the blame. Players can't deal with
it. Yeah, they're not used to it.
I mean, they had been on a hell of a winning streak, and I'm sure it was very painful, but yeah, you hate to see that.
Congratulations to the Buckeye players, but not to their fan base. They can go bleep themselves.
Well, thank you, Chief.
Yes,
that's
sir.
1 hour down, 4 hours of sports to go, including NFL news of the day coming up next. Well, Chuck, where are you taking it?
The latest coaching buzz involving the potential new coach of your Dallas Cowboys and the shove heard around Houston. That's next.